This is Radio Superior 1948, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1948. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is The Voice from the land of beautiful lakes. It's Wednesday, November 3rd, 1948. This is Jack McKenna saying over $2 million a year are spent by Americans on health supplies. It's enough to make you sick. Lou Martin has the stunning news on the presidential race. We have an editorial by Clough Gates. And Colonel Raffaele has a new segment for women.
Sounds provocative.
Sounds crazy to me. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the Leader Department Store. Fighting the high cost of living with nickel candy bars. 3 for 7 cents. That doesn't add up. Leader Department Store. The Wise Buyers Headquarters at 1109 Tower Avenue in Superior. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. President Truman wins, and the Democrats upset all pollsters by retaking both houses of Congress in a dramatic election turnaround. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press in Kansas City. At press time, this is how the national election picture looks. Presidency, Truman leading in 28 states with 304 electoral votes. Dewey ahead in 16 with 189 electoral votes. 266 votes are needed to win. States' rights candidate Strom Thurmond has 28 electoral votes in Alabama, Mississippi, and South Carolina, and is leading in Louisiana, which has 10 votes. President Truman promised today to dedicate himself, quoting now, to the cause of peace in the world and prosperity and happiness at home, unquote, as he won one of history's greatest upset victories in politics. He acknowledged the congratulations of his defeated opponent, Governor Thomas E. Dewey, commending him for his fine sportsmanship. Quoting the president, "I feel very deeply the responsibility which has fallen to my lot as a result of the election," said his simple statement. Quoting again, "I should continue to serve the American people to the best of my ability. All my effort will be devoted to the cause of peace in the world and the prosperity and happiness of our people here at home," unquote. He wired Governor Dewey, quote, "I thank you sincerely for your congratulations and good wishes. We jointly owe congratulations to the American people who have once again shown the world the virility of our free institutions," unquote. In Kansas City, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is Jack Bell in Washington. Democrats grabbed control of Congress today. The majority in the House approached a landslide. The voters, in a startling upset, unseated 50 GOP House members and gave the Democrats a majority in the Senate, as seemingly voters decided to revamp the legislative body that President Truman called do-nothing and history's second worst. If the breathtaking trends continue, the new Congress probably will look something like this. House Democrats, 242, Republicans, 192, American Labor, one seat. The GOP controls the current Congress, 243 to 185, with two American Labor members. In the Senate, Democrats will hold 54 seats, Republicans 42 seats. The GOP had controlled the Senate, 51 to 45. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
Republican Alvin Okunski was reelected 10th District Congressman in yesterday's balloting. With 373 precincts out of 404 reporting, he's leading his Democratic rival, Daniel Hone, 45,105 to 35,699. Okunski carried 12 of 14 counties in his district. He lost out in Douglas County, 2-1, and failed to carry his home county of Iron. The 8th Congressional District of Minnesota will again be represented by Democrat John A. Blotnick. With returns trickling in, Blotnick is mounting an insurmountable lead, leading his opponent William A. Berlin by a near 3-1 margin. Democrats captured Minnesota's 11 electoral votes and took a U.S. Senate seat from the Republicans. but Republican Governor Luther Youngdahl won re-election. Mayor Hubert Humphrey of Minneapolis, the Democratic farmer labor choice for the U.S. Senate, beat Republican Senator Joseph Ball in the industrial Minneapolis and St. Paul area, as expected. Republican Representative Harold Knutson in a close fight for re-election from Minnesota's 6th district today. Knutson is chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. He's represented that district since 1917. In Illinois, Republicans lost the governor's seat. Democrat Adlai Stevenson defeated Governor Dwight Green. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message from Leaders Department Store.
Thank you, Lou. We're asking the people, shall the advocates of high prices, of the high cost of living, of greed, profiteering, have their way? Resolved, no, no, no. Leader Department Store leads the way to better prices, so head for Leader Department Store. For example, special group of women's purses, just $1. Little girls' cotton dresses, oh, and they're so cute, 88 cents, that's all. How about something for the women's blouses needs? Well, they've got them there, great ones, for $1.66. In whites, colors, sizes to 32. Women's fall skirts, just $3.88. Men's dress pants, $3.88. Stripes, plaids, herringbones, checks, and plains. They've got them all for you, fellas. It goes on and on, folks. Lots to see and to buy at Leaders Department Store at 1109 Tower Avenue in Superior. Luke?
A Democratic president and a Republican governor were chosen by Wisconsin voters in Tuesday's election. John Powell has the Capitol Report.
Wisconsin Governor Oscar Renneboom, the 59-year-old drugstore chain owner, was returned to office by a majority of 120,000 votes. Renneboom defeated 34-year-old attorney and former sergeant Carl Thompson, a Democrat from Stoughton. Republicans already in firm control of the legislature tightened their grip yesterday. When the upper house convenes in January, Republicans will control 38 votes and the Democrats only 5. The lone Republican casualty was Madison State Senator Fred Risser. He was defeated by Democrat Gaylord Nelson. Even so, the state that rejected Franklin Roosevelt for a fourth term in 1944 decided in favor of Harry S. Truman by a margin of 60,000 votes. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
Superior and Douglas County kept the Democratic trend. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
Superior and rural Douglas County voters kept pace with the national Democratic trend in yesterday's election, Lou. They gave a big majority to President Truman over Thomas Dewey. Truman polled 12,278 votes to 6,252 for Dewey. Douglas County's two assembly seats remain Republican, with Byron Osby named to the first district seat over Merle Gibson. Second district Representative Charles Nelson was unopposed for re-election. Osby is a 24-year-old University of Wisconsin law student and the son of former Mayor Bryn Osby. He succeeds A.D. Weldon, whom he defeated in the primary. At 24 years old, he's the youngest member of the new legislature. Republican Sheriff William Sims won easily over former Sheriff Frank Carlson of the People's Progressive Party. Douglas County has a new coroner, too. Republican William Downs unseated incumbent Herbert Smith in the primary and was unopposed in the general election. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. Washburn County has a new sheriff. Republican Henry McClella beat independent Republican Edwin Erickson. Bayfield County voters gave big majorities to Republican candidates. Undersheriff Joseph DeMars was elected sheriff, defeating Roy Rood. Republican Assemblyman S.E. Squires of the town of Kelly was reelected. In Ashland County, former Congressman Barney Gehrman of Millen was reelected to the state assembly. He defeated Democrat Emmett Sullivan. And Richard Pufel will be the new Ashland County sheriff. Pufel polled almost 5,500 votes, while his opponent, Progressive William LaPasti, got a mere 367 votes. There's virtually no chance the hunting ban will be lifted by the state before Friday, when the grouse hunting season ends. Sportsmen had hoped that the State Conservation Department would lift the ban after rain in northern Wisconsin this weekend, but there isn't enough rain to eliminate the extreme fire hazard from this year's drought. And finally, Jack and good listeners, the New York Giants professional football team may not return to Superior in August. The Association of Commerce Sports Committee Chairman William Bolton says they're doing everything they can to iron out difficulties so the Giants hold their training camp in Superior State Teachers College again. Mr. Bolton says the Giants spend a lot of money in Superior, and Eastern newspaper reporters give the city plenty of newspaper headlines during camp. He says the Giants want improved practice field conditions.
That'd be a pity to lose the Giants.
Except for the Warriors, they've been training here for 10 years.
Thanks, Lou Bigfoot Martin, the newsman who really likes to kick the pigskin. Now let's check the weather for this Wednesday, November 3rd, 1948. Light rain tonight and tomorrow, but continued mild temperatures. Tonight's low will be 42, with a high tomorrow of 54. And it's music time. I love music time. Here's a new one by the Mills Brothers and Across the Alley from the Alamo on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Across the alley from the Alamo lived a pinto pony and a Navajo who sang a sort of Indian Idaho to the people passing by. The pinto spent his time a-swishing flies, and the Navajo watched the lazy skies, and very rarely did they ever rest their eyes on the people passing by. One day they went a-walking along the railroad track. They were swishing, not a-looking. Doot-doot. They never came back. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the summer sun decides to settle low, a fly sings an Indian hearty-ho to the people passing by. Across the alley from the Alamo lived a pinto, a pony, and a Navajo who used to bake frijoles and cornmeal dough for the people passing by. They thought that they would make some easy bucks by washing their frijoles in dust and lux. A pair of very conscientious clucks to the people passing by. Then they took this cheap vacation. The shoes were polished bright. No, they never heard the whistle. Toot, toot. They're clear out of sight. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the starlight beams its tender glow, the beans go to sleep and then there ain't no dough for the people passing by. One day they went a-walking along the railroad track. They were swishing, not a-looking. Toot, toot. They never came back. Oh, across the alley from the Alamo, when the summer sun decides to settle low, a fly sings an Indian hidey-ho to the people passing by. Across the alley from the Alamo.
The Mills Brothers and Across the Alley from the Alamo. Hey, kids. Ride the Seneca Flyer Chain Drive Bicycle. Boy, Kiddyland has this nifty bike for 4 to 9 year old boys and girls and costs just $15.95. Tell Mom and Dad that Kiddyland has easy terms. Kiddyland, the big store for little folks at 16th and Tower in Superior. Now, let's enjoy the Warriors music of Edith Piaf and La Vie en Rose at the Martin and McKenna Show.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, qu'il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en
faire quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. L'amour a plus fini, un grand bonheur qui prend sa place, des ennuis, des chagrins s'effacent, heureux, heureux, en mourir. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause.
Edith Piaf and La Vie en Rose on station KUWS.
Let me introduce Clough Gates with the Superior Evening Telegram with tonight's editorial. Good evening, sir.
Where's Morgan Murphy?
Well, it's been a tough election for him. You know, the telegram endorsed Governor Dewey. So anyway, I'm here. Hope you don't mind.
We have only one rule here for guests.
We do not.
We ask you not to forget to tip the announcer.
We do not.
That's all right, Lou. Morgan warned me about Jack. Well, Tuesday's election resulted in a great personal triumph for President Truman. It had been generally conceded that the 1948 presidential campaign was one of the dullest, most lethargic in decades. That seems to have been the verdict among campaigners themselves. But Tuesday, the voters of the nation turned the election into one of the most thrilling the country ever witnessed. The only one to compare with it in recent times was 1916, when President Wilson went to bed conceding his own defeat, but woke up to find himself reelected. President Truman won a safe margin above the 266 electoral votes needed. This is to the great surprise and confusion of the political analysts, editorialists, and commentators. The few well-known leaders that stood by the president seemed to be doing so from a sense of duty. They would go through the motion of making a campaign, but had no heart in it. Yet even this could not dishearten Give 'em Hell Harry. If no one else wanted to fight, he fought it out alone. Only his running mate, Alvin Barkley, fought the good fight. This was a battle of the president against well-financed, well-organized forces that felt so sure of victory that they were already beginning to argue as to who should sit at Governor Dewey's presidential fireside, Lou.
Clough Gates with the Superior Evening Telegram. I see the Chicago Tribune headline was Dewey beats Truman.
Even columnist Drew Pearson's Washington merry-go-round was about Dewey's victory today.
Was his face red?
I think that's the name of his column tomorrow.
Colonel Raffaele is up with a new feature. Talk about mistakes waiting to happen. Here's a favorite. This is Judy Garland on the Martin and McKenna Show.
When you walk through
Judy Garland and You'll Never Walk Alone on KUWS. Here's an important message for everyone from Reddy Kilowatt. He says the drought is taking every drop of his energy and he's pinched for power. So please, folks, help Reddy Kilowatt by curtailing your use of electricity at home. Turn off the lights in unused rooms. Turn out every fifth light. Use electric equipment like fans, kitchen appliances, and radios only when absolutely necessary. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company and Reddy Kilowatt says, thanks a lot, folks.
Oh, that's just great, McCorkle. Real swift.
What?
Tell people to turn off their radios just before the colonel comes on the air? Speaking of electricity, you're a shining example of a dim bulb.
Boy, are you in a lousy mood.
Especially since management has given you your own weekly radio segment.
Let's just say I'm not a happy camper today. We Republicans took a thumping yesterday, and this new show they've got me doing, I don't know.
Well, what's it called, anyway?
The Cranky Colonel?
Close. It's called Cooking with the Colonel.
What'd you say it was called?
Cooking with the Colonel.
You're doing a women's show?
I have a special appeal for the ladies.
But culinary skills?
I said cooking, McMartin, not culling. Let me just get this over with.
I know this is for the ladies, but guys, you might want to stick around, too. Here's Colonel Joe Raffaele with Cooking with the Colonel.
Well, we've got a couple of sponsors here I'm supposed to mention, so here's Cooking with the Colonel, that's me, by Linda Pimpkin's Vegetable Compound and the Lee K Shop. All right, gals, listen up. Dried beef makes a satisfactory supper dish when combined with cooked noodles and crema mushroom soup? I hate mushroom soup. Season it to taste, whatever the heck that means. Place it in a casserole and top it with tiny sprigs of parsley? Is that parsley? Parsley, I think, yeah. Just before serving. And if you ask me, placing a weed on top of a hot dish is, well, it's just plain stupid. Anywho, ladies, smart dresses to perk up the tired wardrobe are yours in snappy one- and two-piece styles. Pretty crepes in lovely new colors in black, and that's the Colonel's favorite colors, and at Lee K's Dress Shop on the second floor of the Board of Trade building. Okay, now, let's move right along to leftover macaroni. Cold diced meat and a cheese sauce may be combined to make a casserole dish. Sounds like a recipe for a divorce, if you ask me. You might want to top it with some grated cheese and served with sliced scallop, tomatoes, maybe some snap peas cooked until tender, crisp. Well, wait a minute. It's either tender or crisp. What is it? All right, let's see now. Are you troubled by distress of female function periodic disturbances? Boy, I know I am. Boy, I hate when that happens to me. You got to try Lydia Pinkham's vegetable compound for female complaints. It has a grand soothing effect on and all that. That's all I'm gonna read on this advertisement. I don't care how much they pay me. I'm not reading anymore.
I think we just witnessed the shortest series in the history of radio.
And I hope Lydia Pinkham has a compound for male complaints, because the Colonel's going to get it from both sexes. Let's hear from Stan Kenton now and his hit Tampico on the Martin and McKenna Show. Stan Kenton and Tampico on KUWS. Tough day, eh, Colonel?
Well, I'll tell you, the last time I felt this lousy, I was in the Argonne dodging mustard gas shells in a trench. How on earth could Dewey lose to Truman?
It's all right, Colonel. These things happen.
You could say Raffy's Dewey eye.
And they lost both houses of Congress?
Well, look on the bright side. Now Democrats get all the blame.
But he already blames the Democrats for everything.
It's like a long, unending dark tunnel. We haven't won a presidential election since Hoover in 28. That's 30 years ago.
20 years ago, sir.
No.
It just seems like 30 to you.
There now. We'll go see a movie. Dorothy L'Amour is playing Lulabelle at the Beacon.
Hubba hubba.
I don't want. I loused up my own radio show and some guy by the name of Humphrey wins the Senate in Minnesota.
Buck up, Colonel. You're not the kind to whine.
Yeah. By gum, you're right, McMartin. Somebody's got to keep the Democrats from lollygagging around, passing bleeding heart bills, willy-nilly.
What did he just say?
You know, Lulabelle sounds like a good idea. Nothing like a good, wholesome movie.
And they're also showing the Three Stooges.
What could be more Republican than that?
As long as they don't show any newsreels about the election. A Republican can only take so much.
Stay tuned for Edward R. Murrow, followed by Blondie, Ozzie and Harriet, Beulah, and Duffy's Tavern. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is. And Lulabelle isn't a Democrat. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna, wishing one and all a good night.
Nobody knows the trials I've seen.
There, Colonel.
Nobody knows at all.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1948, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, John Munson, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1948 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.